There is a podcast beyond that which is known to man. It is a discussion as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between movies and TV, between gaming and tech, and it lies between a collection of comics and the summit of our knowledge. This is the podcast of our imagination. We call ourselves the Nerdtastic Four.
Welcome to the Nerdtastic Four. I'm Rose.
I am Kern.
And I'm Desmond.
Woo! It's just us three tonight, but we're finally doing one. Yay!
Yeah, we had to take a small break.
Right? Because our lives are just so busy and hectic with everything that...
You know, they really were there for a little bit. It just happens. The stars aligned to screw us over, so...
Yeah. Right.
But we're back.
Yep. We're going to talk about some cool stuff and, you know, all kinds of fun news stuff and movie stuff, all that stuff.
It's about reboots. This episode's about reboots.
And that's not when you take your boot off, like, and put it back on. That's reboot. Like movie reboots.
No, it's a 90s, it's a 90s CGI cartoon that's about people that live in a digital world.
Right.
Digital world.
I do have something I want to start out with before we get into the reboot stuff. A couple of things, and you guys may have some other things as well. But I was talking about this earlier, and Desmond, you didn't get a chance to hear it. But just recently, and this is from November. This is some news that I found today, I guess. Yeah, today's the 23rd. I don't know if you know, we have Pokemon Go, and everybody's kind of into the whole Pokemon Go thing. But the Pikachu Illustrator card... came out in January of 1998 to winners of the Coral Comic Illustration Contest. And they only had about 20 to 39 copies of this card that were released, and 10 of which were graded in top condition. And it's unknown to how many are still in public, but one of those cards just sold at Heritage Auctions in Beverly Hills for a world record amount of $54,970.
Holy cow.
There you go.
Boom.
That is one pricey Pikachu.
Yeah.
Right.
Jeez.
So almost 55, you might as well say 55 grand. I mean, $30 from short of 55 grand. So, yeah.
So, yeah. If
you
got
it, yeah.
Yeah.
Wish I had that money. I don't care about the card.
Yeah, right. I mean, originally when they came out, I don't know anything about that Coral Comic Illustration Contest, but originally it was given only to the winners of that. But that was so long ago that anybody could have some of those cards now. I mean, it wouldn't just necessarily be the people that originally won them if they gave them to somebody or possibly sold them or whatever. So there's no telling how many more are out there, yeah.
That's crazy.
But, yeah.
I mean, it happens, though, because, like, I've seen more than my share of like Black Lotuses for Magic and stuff, and those are expensive ass cards. I can't imagine the Pokemon. Like, I have some Gen 1 ones, of course, and stuff, but that's just crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not exactly on the same line, but, you know, I'm still hanging on to all of my Star Wars, like, action figures and all that stuff that I had from when I was a kid because, I don't know, part of it is because I don't really want to let it go. But the other part is, like, I'm really hoping that, you know, at some point this stuff's really, you know, if I do want to sell it, maybe I'll catch it in the peak of when it's, like, really worth something.
Yeah, and, you and me both, buddy. I made an investment into that last year. Right before we started this podcast, I went ahead and finished out my Kenner set. Like, I bought a bunch from a guy that was cleaning out his. But I've got all the single figs. I don't have, like, the play sets, but I have all the single figs from... the original three that were released, so
yeah,
with their guns and stuff. So
yeah, that's the big thing, especially in the original figures with Obi-Wan, Luke Skywalker, and Darth Vader, because it's very common that those lightsabers, because they were built in lightsabers
the telescoping, into the hand. It depends on which one you have. If you have the double telescoping, or just, like I could do a whole episode on this one because I do too. You know, I sit there and scour eBay and swap meets and Comic Cons for Kenner toys that I'm like, oh, what am I gonna?
So even if they're out of the box, if they don't, they're worth more if they have all of those parts, and if they're still in the card, as they say, they call it a card. Yeah. If they're still in that card
and in the box,
they're worth even more. Yeah, technically. But yeah, no, I don't know, we may have talked about this before, but I have Han Solo's blaster that came out when I was a kid, and it was the first blaster that came out. I don't remember what year it was, but anyway, it still works. And
I'm missing the battery door. The battery door, but I have one too.
Yeah, mine still works. It's a little. It's got some. You know, it's got some battle use on it. You know, played with.
Oh yeah, my screws are rusty. I've seen yours. Yours is pristine compared to mine. I don't. Mine has a sticker on the side for.
I even buried mine in dirt one time. You know, I remember when I was a kid, we were doing like a kind of like a treasure hunt thing or whatever, and I remember burying it in the front yard.
No.
Yeah, you know, so I'm surprised that thing still works. You know, I was like, you know, 9 years old or whatever, eight, something like that. You know, I don't remember, but yeah, I was pretty abusive to it. You know, didn't really appreciate what it could be later on in life like I do now. And so yeah. And I also have you guys remember Bantha Tracks?
Yeah.
I have a patch that I've came out mine. When you Yeah, you know what I'm about to say, Desmond? What? The Revenge of the Jedi patch?
Yeah.
Yes, because when they were originally going to call it Revenge of the Jedi, they sent those patches out when you renewed your subscription that particular year, right before the Return of the Jedi came out, and they were going to call it Revenge of the Jedi. So they marketed so much stuff that was Revenge on there, and then they pulled it, but some of it had already gotten distributed.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't have the Revenge of the Jedi. I have a replica one. You know that Star Wars varsity jacket that I have that has all the patches on it. It has a Bantha Tracks. It's an original Bantha Tracks patch.
Oh yeah,
on
very
it.
Cool.
I have more, but I have one that's on there, and then the whatever the other 20 odd patches are on it that I've sewn on it are just from mostly from Star Wars Celebration, and some from 501st guys. So.
Oh, very cool.
But yeah, it's the whole Star Wars collectibles is a thing I could go on forever. We recently bought that full-size light-up Talk to Me BB-8.
Oh yeah,
so, yeah, and I've got the whole polycarbonate lightsaber thing.
Have you seen the new BB-8 that has the little wrist thing on it, and you can they call it like a force control? Yeah,
yeah. We looked at those. I mean, it's cool and all, but it was the money, and then also just
right.
I mean, right now is not a, just for anyone listening that thinks I need to go out and buy stuff. You're in a losing battle, my man. Like everyone is buying stuff right now, and everyone thinks it's going to be worth money. And the fact is, it's just mass produced.
They're mass producing
large scale.
Yeah, it's not
Disney
like it was
cranking
back then.
It out so hard that it's just if it's worth anything, it'll be a miracle. Like.
Right.
This happened with comics. I mean, starting in like the 90s, comic sales started going down. People were getting out of it. Lots of collections were being sold, and people saw all these comics going for money and stuff, and Superman number ones, and Spider-Man, and Amazing Fantasy 15s, and Detective Comics. And they were like, oh, I'm going to make all this money. And people started buying. Like Death of Superman, people have it in the bag. They think it's worth money. It's worth like $3 because they printed out a bajillion of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot different now than what it was way back then, because way back then they didn't really, you know, the toy market, you know, when it came like in the 70s and 80s, whenever they started doing all that stuff, that toy market wasn't that huge for movies you know, and then now it is. It's like blown up, you know, now you're getting toys for movies before the movie even comes out, you know, and so, but back then, you know, those toys didn't even come out until after the movie had already been out for a while.
Yeah, no, it's
maybe
crazy.
Maybe put it on your Christmas list.
Well, that's actually what happened with that first year, you know, the Star Wars toys. Anyway, I can get sidetracked here. I don't want to get sidetracked.
Right. I know, yeah. But speaking of Christmas, because I was telling Rose this a while ago, I came across this hipster nativity set that you can buy.
I saw that.
It's a product of Craft Beer Storm.
Oh, my goodness.
And yeah, and so what it is I'm looking at a picture here. It's got Mary and Joseph in the manger with baby Jesus, and they're wearing modern clothes. And it looks like Mary's got a Starbucks cup in her hand, and she's holding up deuces. And Joseph has got a camera in his hand like they're doing a selfie. And so then the three wise men are on Segways with little boxes under their hands. And so, yeah, it's so if you it's legit. Want that modern, yeah, if you want that modern nativity.
I think there probably should have been a selfie stick in there, but other than that.
Right, yeah. Sure.
It's right on. Yeah. I saw it and I was like, whoa, whoa.
Right.
A little too close for some of my friends, I know.
Right.
Oh, man. That's pretty great.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But it's formed, what does that say, followed through in the idea? Yeah, I guess modern nativity, yeah, is what it is. So,
yeah.
Modern hipster nativity.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, well, I never thought I would see that, man. I never thought in a million years I'd see something like that. But, yeah, there it is.
Right. Well, in other news, the latest Pokemon game came out, Sun and Moon.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. I got the Moon version. And I've been playing it, and I haven't gotten to play it a whole lot lately because I've been busy, but hopefully four day long weekend means I'll get to play it a little bit more. But so far, so good. It's really fun.
So if you want both versions, you have to buy them separately. Is that right?
Yes. There's Pokemon. Sun and Moon, two different games. Okay.
Oh, gotcha.
There's not a lot of difference between the two. They're played 12 hours apart. So, if you start
because one's the sun and one's the moon, is that why?
Yeah. So if you start whenever you start playing it, like it's nighttime during the
right.
day and daytime during the nighttime.
Got you.
Yeah, it's fun. Hopefully I'll get to play more of it.
Yeah, I hope it's good because I want the franchise to do well, but I've just never been a fan of the games.
Ah, I love them. These are very different. So used to be it was just like a collecting grinding game kind of, but there's a lot more story elements in this one, and there's a lot more cutscenes and that kind of stuff, so I'm interested to see what else is a part of it and what all they're doing with the story.
Oh, what all platforms is that offered on?
Oh,
the Nintendo. 3DS.
Yeah.
Is it just the Nintendo and that's it?
Yeah, it's just the 3DS.
Oh, okay.
It is a Pokemon game. That's how they...
That's how they make their money.
That's how they... Right. They're like Disney and their DVDs. That's what they do.
They do have rumors, I think, that... yes, they do have rumors, definitely, that they're going to come out with a version of that for the Switch. So that there will be a version to play on the Switch when it comes out.
Yeah, I assume there's going to be Nintendo versions of it. I mean, there has to be. Because they're going to want people to get on it. And that seems like a really good launch title with the recent resurgence in the Pokemans. So,
yeah,
but I mean, I don't know. I hope it does well. I did hear that it was a lot more of like a JRPG, kind of like Final Fantasy. So I'm hoping that if it's like that, I might give it a shot because Final Fantasy has been going downhill for a while.
It's a lot different than the other Pokemon games.
So that might be cool. I might actually watch some gameplay and decide if I'm gonna do that or not.
Yeah. Right.
Other Pokemon news, Pokemon Go had a latest update that allows you to find a Ditto, and Ditto is like disguised as other Pokemon, so you don't know if it's a Ditto until after you catch it.
Oh, wow.
And it can be disguised as like anything. Mostly people have said they found it with Pidgeys, when they catch Pidgeys or Rattatas.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I've seen something on that, yeah. So you're not just so you. It's just teaching you don't blow it off and be like, that's just a Pidgey. Screw that. I'm not
right.
Gonna go after
exactly.
It.
They're like, no, well, nobody's been catching Pidgeys or Rattatas.
Yeah, right.
So now they will because they think it might be a Ditto.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But so that's pretty cool. They've also for everybody west of the Mississippi River is how they put it in their post.
No, that's all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's here. The entire U.S. Correct.
Well,
I mean, that's us. Words. I mean, us. You know, the no test for.
Yeah, that's all of us. We get the newest version of tracking, which is they show you.
Yeah, screw you,
which
East
Pokemon
people.
Are next to the Pokestops. So it's an interesting way to track things. It's not perfect, but I mean,
it's better.
At least it's something.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's the thing. It's like they've ignored it for so long. That to have anything at all come out and be positive is a huge step.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I was like, honestly, at this point, I was just kind of hoping they'd bring back the way tracking was before.
I mean, really, though? That was what they needed to do from the beginning. They just need to leave shit alone. They didn't do it, so.
Yeah. Right. Apparently, they had a lot of issues with the way that tracking worked and how it, like, affected their servers and how much they were having to pay Google for using Google Maps. So I can understand why they had to change it. It just kind of sucks that it took so long and it took a lot.
It just kind of sucks that they took it away. Like, that's the thing. It's like, you can't give people something to take it away.
Yeah. Right.
Because in my opinion, like, yeah, the game was a fad and it wore off really quick, but a lot of it was, it became unplayable.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, even, I mean, I think most of us were like, yeah, we kept it. I'm pretty sure everyone I know, with the exception of like three people, has deleted it at least once.
I still have it, and I started playing it again now that they have tracking and the dittos, because I want to get a ditto really bad.
No, I mean, they have it now, but at some point you've deleted it and then had to reinstall it because you're like, screw this game.
I think at one point, I didn't ever delete it, but at one point it went to update itself, and then it didn't update properly, so it removed itself from my phone. So it deleted itself for me.
Oh, it was just like, no.
Screw you, Rose! You I'm out of here!
Just kill me now, I'm done. I'm done, son.
Yeah.
Oh, I have some non-movie news that you guys probably don't know about. So, you guys been following the Marvel comics?
Of course not. Right?
A little bit.
Let's see.
So, do you guys know that the X-Men and the Inhumans and stuff have been fighting since about last year when they came out of Civil War or Secret Wars?
Okay. Yeah.
It was all kind of based on this fact that Cyclops had died, and we weren't really sure how it had happened. And at some point, people were really thinking that the Inhumans had done it because it was looking that way. And in the comic, it looked like Black Bolt had done it; that he had used his, you know, voice. Because that's his power.
Right.
And
he had
killed Cyclops. And everyone was like, I don't think that really happened. Well, you kind of get the Death of X, which is the storyline that came out, the little run that they just had. And it turns out that he actually died at the beginning of this whole story arc that they've been telling us. And he got exposed to the Taryon gas, which, you know, is poisonous. That's what they've been fighting for a while. That, you know, kills mutants. It attacks mutants. Anyway, Emma Frost found out, and she was there in his, or he was there in her arms, dying, and she made a promise to him to keep fighting. So she created a projection of him, and that's what they've been following during this arc. Whoa. So he's actually been dead. So we all got played a little bit. It was a fake out. It was pretty good. I don't know how much I buy it as part of the story, but it shows that they still care, and it got people talking about it, which is something I haven't seen happen. Since this relaunch, the Last Days of Magic, that's about, from Doctor Strange, that's about all anyone actually talked about in my circle. But I thought this was an interesting deal. What happens after it, I don't know that there's a whole lot, because we're back to where we were. We just have a backstory, so hopefully it'll be cool. Old Man Logan was going strong for a while, but it died out. But that's just my comic update, because I haven't been talking about comics on the show in a while, and I just want everyone to know I'm reading them, but there's not a whole lot going on. If you're reading them, yeah, then you know. If you're looking for a podcast to catch up on them, go find a comic podcast and just get a quick rundown.
Right.
Frontline on YouTube or something. Because there's just not a whole lot going on that really matters right now, it seems like.
Right. Well, back on the Nintendo aspect, I think both of you guys are fans of Zelda, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Breath of the Wild has been pushed to, at least they're saying, maybe June of this next year. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like not excited about that, because it was going to be, I think they were hinting at least that it was going to be a launch title for the Switch.
That's what I thought.
Probably should be.
Yeah, right? It definitely needs to.
And now they're saying it's going to be months later.
I'm trying to think if there's been a Nintendo launch without a Zelda title that I can think
because
of.
Because the Switch is supposed to be March, right? Is that when Switch is?
I think so.
Isn't Switch supposed to be in March of 2017?
Yes.
I'm going to go with and yes. So, I'm not actually keeping track of it right now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but
I mean, it's
anyway,
something I want to get. It's something I want
to
do.
They're
but,
supposed to.
Yeah.
But I'm more upset that this was supposed to be a launch and now it's seeming like it won't be. That's never a good thing. Like, I mean, sometimes it turns out the games get delayed for good reasons. But right. anymore, it seems like games get delayed so that they can take things out of them.
Yeah.
And that's what bugs me. It's like, yeah, we don't actually fix issues. We take things out to make DLC.
Yeah. The biggest, I don't mean to go back to Star Wars, but the biggest release that really pissed me off was when they were pairing the Star Wars Kinect game, which were like four different games on the same disc, and with the Star Wars Limited Edition Xbox, which was, it looked like R2-D2.
Yeah.
And this was on the 360. And so it looked like R2-D2, and it made the sounds of R2 whenever you turned it off and opened up the door for the disc and all that stuff. And then the controller looked like C-3PO. So I didn't really care about the game itself. I wanted the freaking Xbox.
Right.
And, yeah. But because they were pairing those two together, and they were having issues with the game because of it being a Kinect game, it kept pushing that back, and I just kept getting pissed off and pissed off because I really honestly could care less about the game. I mean, it was a cool game. It was okay. I don't know if you saw my post the other day, but I posted something about, like, when I was playing Rancar Rampage, I was making all the sounds of the Rancar, and my wife walks by, and she's like, you know, the game has its own sound effects, you know, because I'm just, like, in the living room, like, you know, like, picking stuff up and throwing it and everything. But I really could. I mean, it was a fun game, but I didn't really care about the game. I wanted the console. So, you know, for those people that are excited about the game, I can kind of see, you know, where they are on this because, you know, it keeps getting pushed back. And when you get excitement for that, and then you're told, okay, it's going to come out in like December, and then no, it's going to be now January. No, it's going to be February. No, March, April, May, whatever. And you know, you just can't. You're just like, come on, man. Quit freaking toying with my freaking emotions and just take my freaking money and give me my freaking game.
Well, you know there will be a Zelda Switch. It'll come with the game, or it'll be sold with the game, and it'll have some sort of Zelda pattern on it somewhere.
Right.
I mean, my big thing is, like, I don't think they ever said it was coming out as a launch title. It was just kind of premiere
and
shown, so maybe they never said it. I'm not super up to date. If Chris was here, you would know exactly. But my thing is, yeah, they probably didn't say it, so maybe I'm getting worked up over nothing. I just hope it doesn't get pushed back, because like I said, I've yet to have a good experience with the game getting pushed back.
Yeah, like I don't want them to rush it, but at the same time, yeah, I don't want it to get pushed back to infinity. Like, because they rushed, Wind Waker. And it ended up losing, like, two or three dungeons that they were supposed to put in it that they never did because they had to rush it and get it out. So I don't want that to happen. But at the same time, like, at this point, it's like, get your stuff together, Nintendo, and give me my game.
Yeah. Right. And then maybe they are. I mean, Nintendo has a pretty clean track record of making working games. I mean, the ones that are shitty, we're going to be shitty no matter what. So I don't really have a problem with that. It's just gaming in general has made me leery of things like pre-ordering and pushing back. So, you know, I'm still lucky I didn't buy No Man's Sky. Like, I was so hyped for it. And my friend's kids, they were like, oh, you got to get it. It's going to be awesome. And I was like, I'm going to listen to these high schoolers, this college kid. They know what.